Reggie, I just sold my car online.
Let's go, Grandpa. Wait, you did?
Yep, on Carvana. Just put in the license plate, answered a few questions, got an offer in minutes. Easier than setting up that new digital picture frame.
You don't say.
Yeah, they're even picking it up tomorrow. Talk about fast.
Wow, way to go. So, about that picture frame.
Forget about it. Until Carvana makes one, I'm not interested.
Car selling made easy. On Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left, the last edition in the year 2025, as we're just hours away from 2026. And tonight, he's a rising star on radio. He's Rush without a hairbrush, or with a hairbrush, I should say. None other than our producer, Style.
Hey, Pastor, how are you?
I'm all right, Style, and ready to roll. And we have, from deep in the heart of Texas, there, he's an author, he's a broadcaster, he's an evangelist, and, well, he's none other than that statesman, Big John McTurnan.
I was waiting for more and more, Pastor Ernie. You're on a roll there.
All right.
Well, God bless you, and God bless all our listeners.
And we got to say Happy New Year right out of the chute, huh?
Yeah, 2026.
Yep,
Pastor Ernie, I remember way back in 1972, when I was being interviewed for my job as a federal agent, they were telling me one of the benefits, you could retire at age 50, or 20 years service at age 50. And I was thinking, hey, that's 1998. It was so far into the future, Pastor Ernie.
Yeah.
It was, and here we are, we're turning the page with 2026.
Yeah. Boy, it kind of arrived real fast, huh?
Yeah, the older you get, the faster the years go.
Yeah, it's just like it seems like one night I went to bed, and when I woke up in the morning, I wasn't young and handsome. I was old and ugly, and it's here, right? So it happened, but, well, it'll happen in style, too, won't it?
I'm just trying to figure out where all this gray hair came from.
All right. When you get our age, you just be thankful you still got hair. Right, John?
Yeah, I still have hair.
Yeah. Anyhow, well, let's get into it. Let's get right into the scripture. The title of the message was, and it was right out of Matthew chapter 24, if it were possible, they would deceive the very elect. And we've been talking this week about one of the things that's happening now. It's being pushed out there. And I've been hearing from it, and I'm not the only one, but you've got this movement out there right now that Donald Trump is the Antichrist. And it's all over the Internet, and people are coming up with all of these different characteristics of the Antichrist. And so we've been going all week long, one after the other, showing you why Donald Trump can't be the Antichrist. But anyhow, so, but there's some good came out of this. The good that's come out of this is it's making people aware that we need an Antichrist. You know, I was talking to a lady, and she was asking me about it. When I told her about over in Daniel chapter 11, where it says the Antichrist will have no desire towards women, meaning he'll be a homosexual or sodomite, it shocked her. She was shocked, like, I can't believe this. You know, well, it should be easy to believe because anti is in opposition to everything that God's Word, the Bible, teaches. And, you know, the Bible teaches heterosexual and, of course, teaches that sodomy or sodomites are an abomination. And so, anyhow, as we go through this, we're going to pick it up where we left off in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting with verse 1. And so, John, do you want to take them a verse at a time?
Yep. Go ahead. Let me get over to 2 Thessalonians. Hang on, I'll be right there. All right. Now, we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him.
Okay, so that's called what? The rapture.
Our gathering together to him is the rapture.
Right. Now, when it talks about the coming of our Lord Jesus, the day of Christ always refers to salvation. The day of the Lord refers to judgment, huh? And so we go now. Go ahead.
No, you're right. Yeah. The day of the Lord is the physical second coming of Jesus Christ. The literal bodily, physical second coming of Jesus Christ to the earth.
Exactly. And is he coming to make love, or is he coming to settle the score?
Well, let's put it this way: not a second or two after he returns, there'll be no evil left on earth, Pastor Ernie. He's going to be dealing with. There'll be no. World system against him. There'll be no Antichrist. There'll be anyone that was against him. They'll be gone, Pastor.
So, in other words, he's going to do the job. He's not going to have to worry about lawfare or any of that, right?
No, not really. And then, you know, I'm thinking as I'm talking to you, there's going to be a judgment at his coming for those that have, what do you call it? They rebelled against him, and they were alive at the end. They're going to be put to death and then resurrected 1,000 years later to face the great white throne judgment for eternity.
Exactly. So here, let's go, verse 2. That you be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, that the day of Christ is at hand. So there were those that were, like you have today, that were spreading false doctrine, saying that the rapture had already taken place, and you had some of the people were very upset, and Paul is telling them, hey, look, here, that you be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, nor by letters from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you. By any means, there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, the falling away, it has two applications, a primary application, then a secondary application. The one, the primary, the great falling away is the great apostasy. Are we in the great apostasy right now, John?
Well, yes, Pastor Ernie, and I think there's apostasy here that's only been in practice, I guess you would say, back at the times of Noah, the days of Noah.
Yeah. But we're in the great...
Christ said, as the days of Noah were, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. So we're seeing sin like never... I don't even know if they had sin like this at Sodom and Gomorrah.
No. Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting you say that because they had they turned that over to AI. They put that AI, when it was the most sinful time in world history, and AI says by far because of technology is today. And so, in other words...
Yes, Pastor Ernie, because you take like sexual sin, you can have pornography and explicit stuff. I mean, really explicit stuff 24/7.
Well, like back in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, where pornography, they'd have to draw pictures, huh?
Yes.
Today, all you'd have to do is would turn on your internet, right?
Yeah, 24/7.
Yeah. And so...
I mean, and even now, Pastor Ernie, the Japanese are well advanced. They have sex robots in this.
Don't you ever get one of them, John.
No, don't worry about that.
Yeah, I've seen that. I really don't even really want to know how realistic they could be. You know, I don't even really want to know because, I mean, nowadays with woke and all of this strange stuff, you know, it's mind-boggling, isn't it?
Oh yeah, I mean that. It's like. If we go back to Genesis, and when God destroyed the Tower of Babel, he said, whatever man thinks he can do.
Yeah.
Remember? That? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So today, whatever we're thinking as far as evil, you can do it. Like when I was a kid now, this is back in, we'll say, mid to late 60s. It was very difficult. Forget about getting like heroin and cocaine, but it was very difficult to get marijuana. And now, I mean, it's like wide open, and way more other drugs than back in the day, in your day and my day. It was marijuana, heroin, and cocaine, and that was about it, Pastor Ernie. Right?
Yeah.
Now look at it today.
I don't even know what all is out there. I know fentanyl and all this other stuff.
Yeah, I mean, there's all sorts of other stuff out there. So you can get all the drugs you want 24/7, all the alcohol that you want. Well, you could back then, too. You know, it's like wide open now for sin.
You know, this hasn't got to do with sin, but it just is kind of a reminder of the times. And I remember when I was a kid, you know, it must have been back when I was growing up, we still had a lot of relatives in the South, and they still had outhouses. And so when we were staying with them on vacation, you know, they had the outhouses there. And I remember one day years later with one of my uncles. I have one uncle that worked until he was 96 years old. But anyhow, he's saying how things have changed. He said, it used to be we'd go inside the house to eat and then go outside the house to use the bathroom. He says, today it was at a picnic. He said, nowadays, we go outside to eat and inside to go to the bathroom. And I just thought that how, you know, quickly things move, how time changes so fast. And, I just remember that. I just thought that was strange, but anyhow.
Yeah, you brought back memories. When I was a kid in the 50s, my grandparents, they had an outhouse.
Yeah.
And I remember the outhouse, Pastor. And then when they got indoor plumbing, they turned it into a chicken coop.
Oh, wow. And, yeah. All right, we go to... I remember how my mother used to tell me because they didn't, you know, when she was a kid growing up, they would heat bricks in a fireplace. They would heat bricks up at night and wrap them in towels and put them at the foot of their bed in the wintertime to stay warm. And so you had to do a lot of things different in those days. But let's go back to Scripture. He says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall come except for they come a falling away first, and then the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now that way, the falling away, if you look that up, the apostasy, it actually means standing away from. The word out there in the Greek means to stand away from. So that could have a secondary application. No, the rapture. Because and during the rapture, we're standing away from the earth, okay? And then he goes on to say, who opposes and exalted himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that as he is God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. It's interesting here, because in 1 John chapter 2, for the first time, the Antichrist was called, that was his name, Antichrist. It was the first time that he was referred to as the Antichrist. But here, I don't see how this verse, they used one of these verses, these people that are trying to say that Donald Trump is the Antichrist, they used this here, who opposes and exalted himself above all that is called God. Have you ever seen Trump do that?
No, Pastor Ernie, no.
No, I haven't either.
He's even given God the glory that he wasn't assassinated.
Right. On how many times? More than one.
A lot.
Yeah, he's
a
brought
lot.
That
every
up.
Every time he said he knows if it wasn't for God watching over him, protecting him, he would have been dead.
So he tells you in 1 John chapter 2 that you couldn't, that the Antichrist can't profess that Jesus is the Christ. And yet, have you heard Donald Trump profess that Jesus is the Christ?
Yes.
Yeah, again, many times.
Pastor Ernie, that's one of the things that is outstanding about 2025. If you study history, usually, Pastor Ernie, the presidents would talk about God as providence, divine providence. Things like that. You never would really hear them say Jesus Christ. They would talk about the divine providence. This year, do you remember during Resurrection Week? I was on a Wednesday, and he gave a little speech, and he was talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, how he died on the cross. And then 3 days later, and he said he died for our sins, and 3 days later he rose from the dead. And this is the hope that we all have. No president has ever done that I know of in history, Pastor Ernie.
Yeah, one has. Ronald Reagan did a very good.
Yes, you're right. You're right.
He did. On the Bible, the King James, why the King James Bible is superior to all these versions of the Bible. But, Reagan did a really good one on that. Let's go to verse 5. Remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. Paul is referring to those at the church in Thessalonica. And now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. So what do you think that's talking about?
Well, withhold it means pushing back against.
The restrainer.
Restrainer. And that God has a time. It's God's time that the beast, the Antichrist, there's several names, the man of sin, the son of perdition. Those are all names for the Antichrist. And it's in God's timing that he'll be revealed. The devil probably would have liked to reveal him back, 2,000 years ago. He wanted to in Paul's time. But Paul's writing that he can't do it. He's held back until God's time.
So these people that are right now we have, those of us know that we can recognize the characteristics of the Antichrist. And, for example, Barack Obama also said that Jesus Christ was his savior, but then he goes on to say, but he was just one of many, many saviors. Oprah said she was her own savior. And So here, what is that called? If you say that Christ is a small g god and not the Son of God.
Well, it's pantheism, Pastor Ernie. Many gods, you know. Hinduism would be the example of that.
But that's not what. But Barack Obama was a Muslim. He even professed to be. Of course, he professed to be both a Christian. Maybe he's like Rick Warren, Chrislam.
Yeah, well, Barack Obama, he wore a ring with a monkey on it, a monkey emblem. Do you remember that, Pastor Ernie?
Yeah, I do, coming out that you brought that up.
And that ring was associated with some pagan god in Indonesia. And there was a big write-up about him, and because it wasn't only the ring, it was some other things that associated him with that god not in Muslim, but he was some sort of a pagan god in Indonesia.
So this next verse, John, tells us when the Antichrist will be revealed. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who not letteth will let till he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. So that all of these people that have identified Donald Trump as the Antichrist, they're kind of ahead of time, aren't they?
Well, Pastor Ernie, I say they got, the worst case of Trump derangement syndrome, TDS, when you start going around saying he's the Antichrist.
Well, I've been listening to I've gotten all different types of texts and emails on this, and some of them you can tell that really believe this. They really believe, and they say, Pastor, you know that, you recognize it, you know it's up to you, you have the duty to warn the people, but the other, and they believe that, but others, you can tell that are very, very wily, that these are the apostate preachers. These are in 2 Corinthians 11, verses 12 through 15, they come as angels of light, but they're not. They're crafty. They know exactly what they're doing, and they're trying to convince people. These are apostate preachers. And so he goes on to say, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all powers and signs of lying wonders. Boy, have we seen powers and signs and lying wonders. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Were they given the opportunity to receive the love of the truth?
Everybody, Pastor Ernie, gets a measure of faith. That's what 1 John chapter 1 says. So, yeah, and especially today, hearing it all over the internet, everywhere. So, yeah, they do get that, Pastor Ernie.
Okay, so then he goes on to say, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Why would God send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie?
Well, because they rejected the truth.
All right, so now let me ask you this. Is it more merciful for them if they don't understand, if they don't know, and they reject God? Or is it more merciful for them if they do know and understand what they're doing and reject God?
I would say the latter, Pastor Ernie. The more knowledge, the more you're held accountable.
Right, absolutely. And that's why, remember, when they asked when the apostles asked Jesus why he talked to the Pharisees in parables, he said, because they're not going to receive it, and it's more merciful for them if they don't understand. They all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. I think we're coming up to a break. We'll be back right after this.
Should old acquaintance be never brought to mind. Should old acquaintance be forgot and days of old lang syne?
It's my wife's birthday tomorrow. She was born on January 1st. And so I don't know, John, why should old acquaintance be forgotten? Is that a good thing?
It depends on the relationship with them.
Yeah. All right. Well, I see. Let's ask Style, see what he knows. He's young. What do you think, Style?
Now you got me thinking about it. I don't know how to take that.
All right. That's what we do here. We get you thinking. You know what we're going to do? We're going to go back and take a look at the beginning of 2025. John, let's start with the inauguration. Do you remember the inauguration? And I was sitting there as President Trump was sworn in. And as he stood there to his, would be in front of him, there sat in the front row, there was Bill and Hillary together. Mike Pence was there when he come in. When he came walking in, Mike Pence walked in.
Oh, Pastor Ernie, that was at the church you're talking about.
Was that? I thought that was.
Where are you talking about? Because I remember at the church, that Episcopalian church.
Yeah, that was later. No, that was later here. Yeah, this was when he was sworn in.
Oh, this was at the rotunda.
Yeah.
I remember all that now. Yeah, but there was two of them there. That it was weird seatings and all. So, but go ahead.
I remember sitting there, and I remember his son saying something, it was to Barack, I believe. Barack came by himself. He came by himself.
Yes.
When he came in, when Mike Pence came in, there was kind of a little bit of a boo. And when he walked in by himself. His wife was there. It seems like she had come in earlier somehow. And I remember, she was very angry at President Trump. She had some when Pence came over. he had a red face, and you could tell that she was angry. I don't know. I couldn't hear what she was saying, but it wasn't nice. But there was Bill and Hillary sitting there. There was Kamala and her husband. There was George Bush and his wife. They all showed up, but you definitely got the feeling that they really didn't want to be there, huh?
Oh, absolutely, Pastor Ernie. Biden especially, and Jill Biden especially, both of them.
Yeah. That was it. His son said something to Joe Biden. I remember that. I was watching that. That was interesting. Now, what you were talking about later on, they went over to that Episcopal church.
Right, right.
And he, that woman, that Episcopal, first of all, are women supposed to be ordained pastors of a church?
I think not, Pastor Ernie.
Yeah, I think not, too. The Bible makes it pretty clear. But these women, a number of these women that are the rebellion, the Bible says rebellion is the same as witchcraft, are witches. They are witches. And I remember how one of the women heads of the Episcopal Church was a witch. And so here, do you remember how she treated the Trump family?
Oh, yeah. She was lecturing him from the pulpit, and it was all about immigration.
Yeah. And so... Yeah,
and then it turns out, Pastor Ernie, that this church, that's supposed to be like the nation's church, isn't it? Isn't that the one that...
Yeah, only... yeah, it was supposed to be, yeah.
Yeah, but it, I mean, it's completely, totally, 100% apostate. It's woke.
Right.
And
satanic. It's actually satanic, yeah.
Yeah, and then they found out that that church was receiving millions of dollars through taking in the illegal aliens and getting them in a system. You remember that?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, everything about the whole Democratic Party is corrupt. There was nothing at all that wasn't corrupt. And so then remember, the next thing, the big story was how, remember, Biden said that he could not close the border without the permission of Congress, that he had to get approved by Congress. That's a bunch of bull. All he had to do was go by what Trump put in motion in his first term. And so what happened? How quickly did Trump close the border?
It was a very short time. I mean, it took a little bit of time, a couple months, but it's closed like virtually airtight.
And so he got it done pretty quick. What was the next biggest story there of 2025? The think about this for a minute. The next really big story early in the year that started out early. I'll give you a hint. Elon Musk was involved in it.
Oh, yeah. I can't think of the name.
It's Doge.
Doge, yeah.
And USAID, they were caught, USAID was caught stealing billions and billions of dollars, yeah. Okay, being funneled through, and everybody getting a kickback. Everybody was getting a kickback. So that was so. What's your big stories? But I don't want to take off the whole program. What did you want to?
No, we can follow that, Pastor Ernie, because that we should go maybe a little depth in it, because that started these federal judges. They were getting that Doge thing is what started them getting interfering with President Trump's presidency. That started all the legal court cases. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They had to protect themselves, huh?
Yeah, because a lot of it would come back to them. A lot of the corruption would come back to them.
Everybody was getting a piece of the action, huh?
Yeah. So that was, and that started everything Trump started to do. They were trying to interfere with, and there was one case after another going to the Court of Appeals and then going to the Supreme Court. And by and large, the Supreme Court, I would say 9 out of 10 backed Trump.
And probably, they say, during that USAID, they were spending hundreds of millions of dollars, and some of that was going to starting LGBT chapters in different countries.
Yes.
And now when you do this, let's say when they start to go to one of these politicians or diplomats, And they set this up. Someone from our end sets it up for them. Then so they get money. So those that are in the Democrats say, okay, I'm going to get you a grant. I'm going to get you of $50 million. The average, what is that, 10% gets kicked back. So they automatically get it.
$5 million is nice, isn't it, Pastor Ernie?
Yeah, yeah. I'd take it. I wouldn't turn it down, right? You know, someone offered me $5 million, right? Not to doing what they were doing, but anyhow. So we're seeing that. So then, do you remember the amount it was? It was like over $1 trillion.
Oh, it was enormous. It was enormous.
That they were able to, well, that they were able to cut because of USAID. And so just recently now in Minnesota, and it's going to be here in Ohio too, because there's a whole lot of that Somali foreign aid going to food stamps and things, all of these phony daycare centers and all these phony medical insurance companies in that. So they're, I guess they said that out of $18 billion, $9 billion of the $18 billion going right to Somalia.
Yeah, and then in Somalia, they're using it, that that group, what is it, El Shabaab?
Yeah.
I'm pronouncing it right.
They're funding them.
They were financing terrorist groups.
Yeah. And it wasn't just El Shabaab. Some of that money was going getting sucked up by others, even ISIS.
Pastor Ernie, that group from Somalia there, El Shabaab, I haven't heard of this lately, but they have gone across the border into Kenya, and they stop buses. And they make everybody get out of the bus. Whoever can prove they're a Muslim, they let them back on the bus. And all the Christians they shot and killed. And then they went into Nairobi, which is the capital, and they went into like a big, this is El Shabaab, they went into a big like mall. And they had a whole bunch of hostages, and the ones that were Muslims, they let go, and the ones that were, they were Christians, they shot and killed. And that money going in, that they're stealing here and sending it to Somalia, money is funding El Shabaab and other terrorist groups. So this is like outrageous, Pastor Ernie. It's absolutely outrageous.
It is, but this is, and again, we got to keep exposing. All of this stuff is like, people, it's like today, it's, well, that's what Democrats do. It's kind of almost expected, and that's just what Democrats do, you know. It seems to be accepted.
All of these, Pastor Ernie, all of these groups that were stealing the money, they're all Democrat-backed, all of them. I don't see... Oh, I'll give the Republicans their due on this. I don't see one Republican name in this. All Democrats. And then all these violent types, they're all connected, like with the Democrat Party, Antifa, Black Lives Matter, all of it, trying to assassinate the president.
Yep. It's just like, the Democratic Party has become a terrorist organization. I mean, it's like, you know, we talk about Iran, you know, spreading terrorism and from financing. The Democratic Communist Party here in America does the same thing. And right here in America. Yeah. But, you know, speaking of Iran, here you have when Trump dropped those bunker-busting bombs in Iran, he sent him a very strong message, and they agreed that they would stop trying to produce nuclear weapons there. But now I guess they're making a lot of noise now, saying that They're going back to war, and there's evidence now that they're trying to build way, 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 way deep down underground another facility. And Trump has told them he knows all about it, and if they go back to that, he'll do it again. He'll take it out again. What do you think?
Well, he did it the first time, Pastor Rooney. See, here's the thing about Iran. This is not necessarily limited to a war between Iran and Israel. If you follow the Middle East, Saudi Arabia said that if Iran gets nuclear weapons, now this is Saudi Arabia, that they are going to get, Saudi Arabia is going to get nuclear weapons, and they said that they can have an arsenal of nuclear weapons within a year. It's not only Israel that has to be concerned about Iran, but so do the Shiites. You have, the Iran is Shiite Muslim, and Saudi Arabia is Sunni.
Which one is the? I know one group is about three times as large as the other.
That's the Sunnis. The Sunnis are the largest.
Okay.
The Shiites are limited to really Iran, a little bit in Iraq, a little bit is a small number in Saudi Arabia, a little bit in Kuwait. But if you go all to Africa and you go come here, you go to Indonesia and India and all, they're all Sunnis.
So which group is the more radical of the two?
I'd say the Shiites. You know, I mean, the guys that bombed 9/11 and all, they were Sunnis. But with the Shiites, they're looking to conquer the world. And they believe that the Mahdi is going to come. Now, the Sunnis really don't have a... it's mixed. I've talked to a lot of Sunnis that have no understanding or following the Mahdi, and some of them are. But the Mahdi is going to be this great conqueror that's going to come, and he's going to convert all the Sunni Muslims and going to become Shiites, and then they're going to conquer the world. They're going to destroy Israel. They're going to take Jerusalem. They're going to conquer the great Satan. That's America. The little Satan is Israel. The great Satan is America. That's the plans of Iran. It's in their writings. It's in their doctrinal beliefs in Islam. So for them to get nuclear weapons, everybody's threatened by them.
So right now you have, what, 56 Muslim states? And with the 56 Muslim states, how many of these... aliens, these migrants, these Islamic migrants, are migrating to any of these 56 Muslim states?
Here to America?
They're only going to it. They're going to Western states. They're not. None of them migrate to Muslim states. And for that reason that you just said, for what the Shiite, their goal is to conquer, that they believe that they go there to conquer the West, the Western states. They've done that with in United Kingdom, UK. They've already done that. They've conquered. They own England.
Yeah, and they're trying the same tactics here in America.
Yeah, I know. They were
just how in England, you have the major cities. The eight largest cities are all have mayor governors, Muslim governor mayors now.
Well,
and they're spreading in all areas. And then, Pastor Ernie, did you see that terrible case they had with these Muslim groups all over England were raping all the English young girls?
Oh yeah, and we talked about that last night. It's like a movement. It's like some kind of a.
That's to break their spirits, Pastor Ernie. That's why they do that. It's a way of like controlling them. It breaks a young girl's spirit. But here's the thing: they were taking this to the police, and the parents were taking it to the police. And they did nothing for years. They did nothing. The police, they let them do it in England. And then finally, I don't know exactly what happened, how this broke, but it broke into the public. And now the guy there, that the English guy, Pastor Ernie, that's a real good politician. He runs with Trump. I can't think. Nigel.
Ford. Yeah, yeah. I know who you're talking about. Nigel.
Yeah, he broke that out in the open, and now they've got this big investigation. But there's probably thousands that have been raped by them, and it was gang rapes, Pastor Ernie.
Well, they have a major problem.
All of them were Muslims. Every single one of them, Muslim immigrants.
They had the same problem there in Germany. In Germany, you had, I remember, what was her name, Merkel? When she was saying that you had this German girl, very pretty girl, was raped by a lot of Muslims. They claim there was as many as 100. I that's hard to believe. But anyhow, when it hit, it came out, Merkel said, she probably wouldn't have happened if she hadn't been dressed the way she was dressed. In other words, it was the way that she was dressed is what caused the Muslims to rape her, to punish her for being dressed that way. So Merkel, instead of taking the side of the girl, she took the side of the rapist. And, you know, I could see the feminists in this country doing the same thing. I could see the feminists in this country, just like they did with the sports. You know, here with the men competing against women in the women's sports. And what were the comments coming from the so-called feminist leaders, the Democratic congresswomen were saying, well, you know, if you can't compete, you can't compete, right? Now, forget the fact that they were men, and if these women can't compete with the men, then they don't deserve to win.
Bizarre, Pastor Ernie. Did you see where that feminist politician in Minnesota, I don't know her title, but she dressed up like a Muslim to go in to these Muslim places to campaign?
Oh, yeah, I saw.
I just saw it. It just happened the other day. She had the whole Muslim garb on to be able to go into the mosques and all of this.
Well, just I mean, in a couple, yeah. Yeah, I saw that, yeah. And just within a couple hours from now, John, the largest city in the United States is going to have a Muslim mayor.
Well, that's what I wanted to tell you. That's exactly how they started in England. They started, I mean, I remember when that guy was elected the governor or the mayor of London. And then next thing you know, there's eight cities that the Muslims are in charge of. Well, now we've got New York. But for all practical purposes, that mayor of Minneapolis, he might as well be a Muslim.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty sure he is. He's not. He doesn't profess, but I'm pretty sure he is, because he defends Islam.
Yeah, his acceptance speech. He did it in Somali language.
Yeah. So the enemy of. Go ahead.
He's also threatened ICE agents in Minneapolis. He's threatened them. You know, about going after the Somalis and the illegal aliens, which most of them are, you know, quite a few are Muslims. But yeah, they are more aligned with foreign groups, especially Muslims, than they are Americans, Benjamin.
Yeah. Well, you've got a Muslim in the largest city, New York City. You've got a communist, and as governor of California, a hardcore communist. You've got a hardcore communist as governor of Illinois. And you've got a communist as the mayor of Chicago. If you go and you look at the in Boston.
Yeah. And you look at Seattle. They just elected there a outright communist in Seattle.
Yeah. And so here, that's the whole point, to divide the states. They really want to push for a civil war, don't they?
Oh, yes. Yes, they do, Pastor Ernie.
So how important are the midterm elections coming up here in May?
Well, every election's critical, because if the House turns to the Democrats and the Senate turns, then everything that Trump tries to do, they'll probably be like the first his first presidency, and they'll look to impeach him and bottle up everything he tries to do.
Well, they've already said the number one top of agenda would be to impeach Trump again. So what advice do you have about, because the Republicans, especially a lot of supposed neo-evangelical Christians, don't vote in the midterm. And if they don't vote, they are voting, right? I mean, if they don't vote for the good people, they're voting for the bad, aren't they?
Yeah, Pastor Ernie. But it's the same old things with the Republicans. It's the same old thing. Like, all right, Trump got elected. That was good. That's really good. But all these judges that are turned against Trump, right?
Yeah.
Well, I think there's 150, cases against him now, something like that. Where are the Republicans backing him up? Where are the Republicans coming after these judges for what they're doing? Where are they, Pastor? And I know we've discussed this many times. You got a handful. There's a handful in there. But where is the Speaker of the House shouting on the top of his lungs? Where is he? Where's McConnell? The Senate. Where are they? It's the same old things with them. Same. They never change.
Yeah.
We need leadership. We need so the people want to go out and vote.
Yeah. Well, the people better go out and they better vote, because if the Democrats get back in charge there, if they do get back in charge, by any way, if they ever were to get back in the White House, especially, you and me would be in jail like they did with the January 6ers. And so now here what's coming up, because January 6th is coming very, very soon. And here a lot of people have been worried about the statute of the time running out to charge that January 6th committee. But statutes of limitations, I don't think applies to treason, because they committed high treason.
There is no statute for treason.
There is no statute for treason at all. So there you go. So, and that's what they've committed, high treason. And according to Bondi and Cash Patel, they're going after these people. They're not going to get away. So we'll see what happens in that case. All right, we're coming up to a break, and then when we come back from the break, we got a whole lot more to go. So don't go away. Be back after this. Have a happy new year, everybody, and we'll see you in just a couple.